away from the main issue and really, I think, distract from preparedness in general. And, you know, I'm going to go after a couple folks that are out there right now that are really causing problems, that don't understand the narrative. And I want to explain the narrative to you today as well about what really is happening in the world and why this all started in 2016. And then why in 2019, in earnest, we began to see some triggers happen. And then now, just over the weekend, why there is a huge change, really a sea change, in what is happening in this country. And this is again stuff we've got to take really seriously. We're not messing around here. I do want to highlight one of my favorite scriptures and talk too about why this applies to this time. I'm going to not do the normal scripture today. I want to take and do a new one. We quite often believe that if we just don't do anything, that that's the easiest thing for us to do. Not doing something. Because then I'm not responsible if something happens. But that's not what God calls us to do. He's calling us to very specific things in this time, but the battle is His. Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Our job is to be prepared. Our job is to pray for other people. The results are up to the Lord. And when we start getting into a questioning of the outcome or questioning of the results, we're actually questioning God. And so as I talk about these things today, keep this in mind. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Our job is to be prepared. Our job is to live out the Great Commission, to preach the gospel of the kingdom, heal the sick, cast out demons, really love our neighbor, but also, and most importantly, love the Lord our God with all our mind, heart, body, soul, and spirit. We cannot lose sight of that as we talk about these things. All right, so today, coming to us from Open Source Intelligence, and what's another interesting thing, I was just talking to a couple of guys before the show about this, the Debka file has been offline for now almost 2 weeks. And there is no explanation as to why it's offline, but it appears to be that they just stopped reporting during the pendency of this war in Ukraine. So we're going to go to Open Source Intelligence right now. Raytheon Technologies has warned that it cannot immediately make new Stinger missiles to replace what the U.S. sent to Ukraine. That's a gigantic deal. So in other words, we have depleted our own strategic stockpiles, and it doesn't appear that they can immediately replace those things. So we're actually becoming more vulnerable. Remember what I talked about here a few months ago, that the whole point of this is to try to weaken the United States prior to World War III. And the narrative is this, and it started back in earnest in 2016, was to tie the right, conservatives, Christians, patriots, to Russia. Tie them to Russia so when World War III begins, then they use that as the excuse to come after conservatives, Christians, and patriots here in America as somehow being subversive. The second part of this narrative is that the global elites want to start World War III so that after World War III, they can try to implement, and they'll try to do some of the control mechanisms during the war, but after the war, try to implement a one-world government, a one-world economic system, and a one-world religion, whatever that even really means. So we're going to talk about a few things that were specifically put out yesterday, and I want you to really pay attention to what I'm talking about here, and then we're going to get into what we can do about this. The foreign minister for Russia today actually said that NATO has a de facto entered a proxy war with Russia by providing weapons to Ukraine. In other words, they're saying, the Russians are saying, they're already at war with NATO. Now, yesterday and the day before, the United States came out. So as they visited Ukraine, they came out and said, and this is Defense Secretary Austin, came out and said that the new goal of the United States is weakening Russia militarily. The same day the Finnish parliament approved entry into NATO. Now, if you don't know where Finland is, go look it up on the map. It's right on the border with Russia. There was a winter war fought by the Russians against the Finns. Simo Haja, the most famous sniper in the world, was part of the Finns really crippling the Russian army there and sending them back out of Finland when that happened. Here's another thing that happened. Last week, accidentally, I'm putting this in quotes, a nuclear alert was sent out by Russia saying that there was a retaliatory strike by NATO, nuclear. Well, that brings a whole bunch of things up as questions. What do you mean retaliatory? You mean the Russians are going to do something ahead of time? And then Foreign Minister Lavrov said yesterday, nuclear war cannot be underestimated. It is serious. It is real. Germany, according to open source intelligence, is also now supplying lethal aid, announcing its first delivery of heavy weapons to Ukraine. They're also approving the delivery of anti-aircraft vehicles, which, again, this is very clearly aimed at defeating the attempt of a Russian offensive in East Ukraine. The Russians have also come out and said that there are roadblocks, and this is, there are multiple reports on the ground from Moldova too that are corroborating this. Multiple reports of roadblocks being set up in Transnistria near the border areas with Ukraine and pro-Russian separatist forces have been seen on higher alert. Russian media is now echoing what Russian officials have been recently stating, that a land bridge across Ukraine to Transnistria is a phase two goal, implying intervention there at some point in the future. Many people are fleeing Transnistria into Moldova with long lines of queues formed at crossing areas. Now, a lot of Ukrainians, when they fled, went through Moldova, which borders Romania. And they, the Moldovans, have reached out, and it looks like they may also be seeking help if the Russians try to do something there in Transnistria. You can go back all the way to World War II and talk about Transnistria and what happened there, but there was Ukrainian Jews were killed en masse down there as part of the Holocaust. This is a huge deal of what is happening there right now. And again, all pointing toward a broader war ramping up. Representatives from 40 nations met today at Ramstein Air Base in Germany to discuss how to deliver more aid to Ukraine and discuss ongoing operations there. The meeting was hosted by the United States. The Federal Air Transport Agency in Russia also warned today Russian airlines to prepare for GPS failures, degradations, and abnormal performance. This can be done two ways. It can be done through either satellite attacks or possible cyber attacks. And so it's within the realm of possibility that the Russians are preparing a massive cyber attack on the GPS system. If they succeeded in doing something like that, that could cripple the economies of the world. Global positioning is used for all kinds of different things. But think about shipping, number one. Think also about time. Global positioning satellites are used for time as well. Now, this is interesting because this comes on the heels of a DefenseNews.com report. We're going to go there right now, that SpaceX shut down a Russian electromagnetic warfare attack in Ukraine last month. So anyways, they tried to take out this satellite network of Elon Musk and failed at it with one piece of code. and that the U.S. government, the Pentagon particularly, admitted that they acted faster and did it with more effect than the U.S. government, and they were taking notes. So with this, understand that the U.S. government is admitting that they were not as prepared. Also on this GPS situation, rail carriers canceled grain shipments, and also CF Industries warned fertilizer rail shipments were also going to be curtailed right as the spring planting is happening for wheat. Global positioning also is used regarding rail. I want to talk about fuel prices now. Again, from Open Source Intelligence, in Europe today, rising nearly 20% on reports that Russia has cut off energy flows into Poland. Poland relies on Russia for 55% of its fuel, so 20% increase on fuel prices in Poland. The United States has reportedly provided Sweden with security guarantees as the nation seeks to join NATO. So now that Finland is approving this, Sweden is right on its heels. Sweden's traditionally been neutral, was neutral in World War II. State Department has proposed $165 million worth of non-standard ammunition be sent to Ukraine, including mortar rounds, automatic grenade launcher rounds, and more. So again, all of these things pointing toward a massive escalation in a broader war. And then last but not least, Russia's Sandworm hackers attempted a third blackout on Ukraine, but it was largely unsuccessful. They tried to take over the power grid in Ukraine and shut it down. We have reported on this show back in the past where hackers had gotten far enough where they could have flipped the switch on or off on the U.S. power grid. So very clearly, this is part of fifth generation warfare going into the future that we need to be paying attention to. And again, pointing toward preparedness. Let's move next to the New American and talk about Shanghai. Shanghai right now is experiencing an extreme lockdown policy, which is affecting the global supply chain. In addition to that, Beijing is looking at being shut down next. And we're seeing some of the same things they did in the precursors to shutting down Shanghai, to shutting down Beijing, which will also, again, affect imports into the United States of Chinese goods. And I'm going to talk about something that a lot of people miss on manufacturing, and we'll talk about that here in a second. We are headed not just toward higher inflation, but a supply chain crisis turning into, it is already a crisis, turning into a supply chain catastrophe. Now, I'm not saying that with hyperbole. Okay, this, if the right actions are not taken now, is very real. We are going to go next, though, to Ukraine, the breadbasket of Europe. By the way, the largest Christian nation in Europe, been experiencing a revival over the years, sandwiched between the Orthodox Church in the East and the Catholic Church in the West. Very interesting about how that is all playing into this as well. So, the Russians continued offensives in eastern Ukraine. I'm going to go down to the battle damage assessments. I'm going to tell you something. It came from Bellingcat. This, again, from Open Source Intelligence. 90% of Russia's elite paratrooper force is gone, lost, destroyed. Which is what we reported on this show, that their special forces had taken massive hits at the beginning of the invasion when they were not expecting a defense in depth with local militia organized in Ukraine to fight back and fight back effectively, even against their elite special forces unit. Right now, over 920 tanks. These are World War II numbers. 920 tanks. I want you to imagine that, what that looks like. Okay. 920 tanks, over 2,300 armored personnel vehicles, over 500 artillery systems, 180 aircraft, and 150 helicopters and over 200 drones destroyed. This is saying right now that Russia's military is approaching combat ineffective status from a objective standpoint. Now, I have watched some military analysts. I don't know where they're, maybe it's because they were never really on the ground or never really analyzed this up close and personal. But I watched some analysts talking about, oh, maybe only a quarter of Russia's military. No way. I mean, these numbers are so much higher. They're approaching one third right now. If it's not over that, I mean, this does not include vehicles down for maintenance in the Russian military, which typically was running in Afghanistan from 25% to 33%. So we're looking at right now a Russian military that could feel like they might lose. And if that's the case, how desperate could they get? Again, that coming to us from Euromaidan. I want to talk quickly also about the loss of technology. We lost technology in Afghanistan. We gave it over to the Taliban. The Taliban, by the way, according to AN Magazine, now have a spy blimp, which is incredible. But what other technology do we know that has been lost to even the Russians right now? Technology has been given to Ukraine that has been lost to the Russians. We don't know what that cost is. So I want to just throw that in there right now as we're talking about these things, that we have instability happening here in this country and this going on abroad. We're approaching a time of great instability, and we're going to talk about solutions here in a second. What do we do next? What do we do next? Fusion GPS emails show a scheme that's coming to us from Populist Press. The whole narrative there is unwinding on Russia collusion. Remember, again, this was a narrative fight. They were trying to pin the right to Russia so when World War III starts, they could use that as an excuse to come after conservatives and patriots. That appears to be unwinding right now. And the whole Hunter Biden, Joe Biden connections and the Hunter Biden laptop, this is, again, undermining the stability of the United States. It looks very clearly like Joe Biden is being set up to be replaced and replaced here in the next few months. This combined with the migrant surge at the border, this combined with inflation and economic downturns, and this combined with the moral degradation of the United States is an attempt to completely destroy the United States, take it out of the way, so that this, after this World War III, there won't be an obstacle to what they want to do. Well, God is in control, and God has a plan here too. And let's talk about solutions. First of all, I, again, do not want anybody to take this as panic. I want them to take, everybody listening to this show right now, take this as multiplication, as taking the fear out of a situation by being prepared, preparing the horse for battle. NATO is indicating that this is a broader war. Russia is indicating this is a broader war. Ukraine is indicating this is a broader war. Ukraine is saying that negotiations are effectively done. The Russians are saying negotiations are effectively done. Where does this go from here? China has come out now publicly, according to multiple sources, and said they are going to back their ally, Russia. So, again, open source intelligence saying, too, that North Korea is going to continue to ramp up its nuclear program. This all points to a broader war coming very, very quickly. And something over the weekend flipped, it changed, it switched, it shifted. You could kind of feel it. When they started coming out with this rhetoric that essentially war is already here on both sides. They're preparing people for this. And so what does war mean? Well, on top of the already hit supply chains, we talked about this over 8 months ago, that COVID would end, war would begin, and it would be used as a noise cover for the economic downturn. So for all of us, we need to have at least 1 year's supply of food. And in fact, I'm going to make sure that everybody knows what that actually looks like. It's not just going to the store and just buying a bunch of beans and rice and stuff. What would you actually eat? Yes, you should have beans. Yes, you should have rice. Yes, you should have white sugar. Yes, you should have brown sugar. Yes, you should have other staples that you use, like salt, especially non-iodized salt, which helps to preserve meat. But we're going to post what everybody should be buying for food. We're going to put it up on the Patriot Radio website and on the Facebook page and on the Gab Facebook page. We'll also put it on my personal page as well. Everyone should be buying food, and it should be at least 1 year supply of food, if not two. If not two. And if you do not grow a garden, you should begin growing a garden now. We have a great garden ministry here at On Fire Ministries. Yes, that is actually a ministry. Feed the Sheep. We have a great ministry here to help people who are just starting gardening or maybe need some expertise. So you can connect with us, learn how to do that, but plant a garden this year. Even if it's just tomatoes and cucumbers and maybe some other stuff, but plant a garden that's bigger than just for your family. And then also learn how to can. Very important for what's coming. 1 year supply of food. I cannot stress that enough. And the second thing that all of us need to be doing right now is we need to be organizing. We need to be becoming part of a network. Now, many of you are already part of the larger Patriot network that is out there. But if you're not, if you've never even heard of that, if you don't feel like you're plugged in, contact us, get plugged in. Help share information, even on Facebook and Gab, share information that we're putting out to get this information out to everyone, church and state and Patriot Radio. Share the info and get it out to as many people as you can. This is so important in this time that we stand together against this attempt to crush our supply chains and stamp out freedom. It's very clear that the Chinese supply chain is hit now, and it's going to affect things here in the United States. It is very clear, too, that there's been some issues with food processing plants. And let's talk about that very quickly. This is not on the news, but I actually confirmed, especially a fire that happened with Azure Standard. I think that maybe we don't believe this stuff is real or something. I don't know. But very clearly, the food processing plant issue, where you have over 20 reported incidents of fires, a plane crashed into one of them. And Azure Standard, by the way, this isn't something that uses a lot of cyber technology for distribution. It's a distribution warehouse. There's no like processing there, but it was even hit with a fire. You still have the Dairy Gold plant that was hit last year with a fire, still not able to get back up to the same level of production it was. So this isn't coincidence that you have attacks against critical infrastructure in the United States, and you have attacks against food supply and food processing. So, 1 year supply of food. Make sure that it is an actual 1 year supply of food. completely set aside. It's not what's in your pantry. That doesn't count. Completely set aside, not touched. Go take care of that if you have not. Some people I still have talked to. I've been talking about this literally for 10 years. Some people are still not prepared. Go prepare. Get food. The more decentralized we are, the more resilient we are, the better we are as a community, and the better we are as a country. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And if you need real news, listen to Patriot Radio. Listen to Church and State. Go check out some of the sources that I continually go back to. S2 Underground has a fantastic video on preparedness right now and the idea behind the supply chain. So go check those things out. And if you get a chance, you can go to Gab, Getter, MeWe. We're on all of the great social media platforms. Go there, share those things with your friends and family where those things are not slammed, and get plugged in. I'm also on Twitter. So we're also on Twitter. So now that that may open back up, it still remains to be seen. But now that that may open back up with its purchase by Elon Musk, go back to Twitter, check that out too. But again, share it with your friends and family. Don't just keep this stuff to yourself. All right, that brings me now to our guest today, Mark Melosha, who is the head of Family Policy Institute of Washington, longtime friend and freedom fighter who has been coming against this war against morality in this country. Mark, thank you so much for everything you're doing for America and Washington State. I hope you're doing well.
Thank you, Matt. Doing very well. You are doing well, and your ministry is going out there and making a difference out in the public square.
It is. We're doing fantastic here. It's been just such a blessing, and there is such an attack right now on everything that is true and good. I mean, 10 years ago, who would have thought we would be arguing over who is a man and who is a woman?
That's right. We were together there in Olympia in back when I was a Democrat, in fact, 10 years ago. And the radicals didn't really show themselves until maybe the last 6 or 8 years. But now they've come out the open. Now, clearly, it's hard for anybody tonight. We're really in a spiritual battle right now with forces way beyond what's here on Earth, powers and principalities that are truly evil in nature and going after our entire Christian worldview. They're to basically put out Christians out of business to persecute us.
Yeah, it's interesting that they are doing this attack to try to, you know, completely destroy the voice of Christianity. And you have to ask yourself, you know, why is it like this when Christians are the ones that have historically been the people to go out and help, the people to turn communities into places of good where there's lower crime and all of these things? I mean, we've been a force for good for so long. Why this huge attack on Christianity right now?
Well, I think I would have to go back to the Reverend Charles Finney. You remember him, a great pastor, you know, part of one of our earlier Great Awakenings here in America. But it's when the church abandons the mission of evangelizing and bringing Christ to the people, when the church abandons that basic mission, ignore politics, then our country, our whole civilization gets in trouble. And Charles Finney said, if I could just read you his famous quote, he said, God will bless or curse this nation according to the course Christians take in politics. And he goes on and continues and says, if immorality prevails in our land, the fault is in a great degree ours. He's talking about pastors, Matt. If there is a decay of consciousness, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discrimination, of course, and look at today, our public media, they've gone completely immoral. The pulpit is responsible for it, Pastor Finney continues. The church is degenerate and worldly. The pulpit is responsible for it. The world loses its interest in religion. The pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. Our politics has become so corrupt, very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. There it is, Matt. I mean, that's the key. We Christian activists, pastors, who are responsible for spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, if we remain silent, and the devil, the Satan prevails in our land, and that's exactly what we're seeing right now. For the last 60 years, our generation, you know, we went from being involved out in the public square, saving souls, to now letting the other side steal our children and spread lies. And if only we get back to the Great Commission of spreading the good news, I think that that will turn America, turn Washington State around. But we've forgotten that lesson, unfortunately, in the times. Very few are like you engaging in the public square in saving souls. That's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak.
Well, that's the, you know, this is the issue of truth that we need to talk about. The issue of truth. Is there actual, absolute truth? And, you know, we just start with man and woman. It's radical today to say there is a man and there is a woman and not fall into this whole abuse of language, abuse of power, false paradigm with pronouns, gender pronouns, all these things. How do we fight this? Because as soon as you say, no, there is a man and there's a woman, biologically there is, and there's this huge fight. How do we fight that? Because it's reality, but we're literally watching people slide into a pseudo reality. Looks like we might have lost him. Mark, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now. Hello? Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, so go ahead.
Yeah, it's putting alive now. And there's great silence about we're letting this happen. Or you see what's going on in Texas where child abuse, I mean, kids are allowed to mutilate themselves with taxpayer dollars and get away with it. And we're not calling that child abuse. In fact, folks who are trying to prevent it, like in our state, prevent, you know, this ugly what is called transgender surgery. I mean, emasculating and mutilating children. If you're trying to stop that, then you're labeled a child abuser now in Washington State. Domestic violence. And it's like, you know, evil is now being promoted and the good is being suppressed and persecuted. And so until we have pastors and politicians and activists speaking up, you know, it's going to get a lot worse. It's going to get a lot worse. Soon they'll be taking children away from Christian parents to get indoctrinated in government schools run by neo-pagans.
Man, which is why we need to start our own schools as Christians, and every church should have a school.
Absolutely. In fact, that is the solution. Every church needs to have a school. The public school system, the college system in our state needs, except for very few exceptions, needs to be closed down. They're literally killing children. They're literally corrupting the souls of our youngest children and our teenagers and our young adults. And they're doing it deliberately. They're making no pretense about that. The LGBTQ caucus in Olympia, you know, the legislators have formed an LGBTQ caucus. They're saying they have the right to mentor everyone's child in Washington State. That's what they believe is the norm. And we believe that's child abuse. But we need to call them out.
We need to call them out. How do we do that effectively? I mean, FBIW has really kind of honed this down. Tell the listeners how we can do that.
Well, the first thing is join our list, start reading how we're involved in Olympia, and the opportunities to be involved. The FBIW.org, sign up. And the second thing, and it's be like you're doing, Matt, be involved, talk about the issues, talk about what Jesus' teachings mean in real life. What are we supposed to obey? What is the truth with a capital T, the truth of Jesus Christ? And if you know that truth, then you'll know. Then you will truly be free, and you'll know what true freedom is, to live according to God's rules, God's commandments. And we've forgotten that our nation was, our Constitution was only made, now I'm quoting President Adams, only made for a moral or religious people. And we move away from morality and from religious tradition, from the Christian tradition, we will soon be corrupted, and we will soon be serving Satan. And you have to recognize that. You have to call out folks who are literally leading children and adults away from the truth, you know, the goodness of how to live in our country.
We have quite a fight on our hands, but we also have some tools that are mitigating what these folks are trying to do. And one of them is the internet. One of them is using social media, especially real social media like Gab and Getter and the rest, Parler and the rest. It is important that we use social media because it seems like, you know, I watched people just not answer their emails in Olympia, to just be totally ignoring people, not answer their emails, not really even answer phone calls. So there's got to be a better way, more effective way to really put pressure on right now and share information more importantly as well.
Yes. Well, obviously, you know, we are heartened with what happened with, you know, Elon Musk, you know, taking back Twitter. Now he's going to allow religious folks, Christians, to talk about the basic reality of biology and not get canceled. But at the end of the day, Matt, you know, the best way to influence somebody is one-on-one, to change a heart and mind. That's with whether your neighbor or your state representative, you know, in your local district. You have to be involved in the political process. The people who show up make a difference. And we've forgotten that rule. And of course, make sure we elect godly and faithful people to office. People who have a backbone, who aren't afraid to take over. Sometimes you have weak leadership. Obviously, the Democratic Party is completely corrupt. But we need to elect strong Republican leaders. We can't have the Republican Party go the way of the Conservative Party you see in Canada or in Europe. We have to have a place where Christians and people of faith can get involved and fight for these family values, these virtues of hard work, of faith, of freedom, of protecting children, especially from the evils of this whole LGBTQ radical libertine sexual and gender revolution that you see happening. And so being involved is what Christians have to do again. You know, the LGBTQ activists are literally number one, right behind Planned Parenthood, who's number two. And we have to be involved and as passionate as they are. But frankly, as you know, our salt in many instances has gone flat. So we have to reinvigorate ourselves, you know, with the gospel, with the teachings, and go out and be heard and not be silenced by the folks like it used to be Twitter or Facebook or Amazon or the Seattle Times or Spokesman Review, you know, on and on, all these media companies that just silence the Christian voice. So we have to go out and challenge them.
All right. We have Christians that are wanting to get involved, and they're like, Mark, I know you guys are doing great work over there in Olympia. What can I do in my own community? What can I do in Puyallup? What can I do in Spokane? What can I do in Colville? What can I do in Walla Walla?
Well, what we're trying to do, we're trying to get Christians involved. We're trying to set up these 10 regional centers all across the state where Christians can gather and then become a force and learn, as you know, the ropes of politics, of community involvement, community activism. The left sure got it down to a pat, but they stole the model from Christians, from the churches. And we need the local pastors and Christian activists to be the leaders on morality, on how do we treat and raise our children, on the proper definitions of freedom and of what's the difference between good and evil. These basic concepts have all been taken over by the left, the radical left. We need to take them back. And then go besides, you know, what you said about, you know, basic biology and science, which, believe it or not, supports our positions in all the great debates like racism and critical race theory. And we need to take back the public institutions. Frankly, Matt, as you know, we've given them a 30-year head start. So we have to catch up. But it starts with that first step of being involved, understanding the issues, help. You know, we're going to start forming a regional center here in Spokane. We're trying to gather, as you know, gather all the pastors together. But it takes leadership, and it takes average folks willing to be involved and make a difference and say, not my town, not my city, not my city hall, not my school board.
Yeah, and we just scratched the surface, you know, with, you know, who's a man and who's a woman. I mean, there's so much more to this, just the general degradation of morality. And this started when, you know, you take the Ten Commandments out, and all of a sudden, nothing is sacrosanct. There's no, who decides what's true? Who decides what's morally right or morally wrong? And now we're in a place where you quite candidly have some sociopathy.
Exactly. As you know, they basically kicked God out of government in the schools, prayer out of the schools back in the late 50s, early 60s. And then we tried the secular experiment. But you can't have a value-neutral society, value-neutral schools. Something's got to fill the vacuum. Of course, the left, the last 5 or 10 years, have now been filling it in all their horrible ideologies and agendas and started the persecution of Christians. So there's a case going on at the Supreme Court. Pray for the Supreme Court. You know, Joe Kennedy, who's the coach at Bremerton, was, you know, fired for praying on the 50-yard line. But it starts with making that effort of bringing God and the teaching of Jesus Christ back into our public schools, back into our public square. And that's the first step. And it's going to take us years to do this. But we need to go out and implement the Great Commission, you know, get people to obey the teachings of Jesus Christ. And once we do that, we set that as our goal, then we'll do what happened 2,000 years ago. We'll win from the pagans, win from the radical LGBTQ, win from Planned Parenthood, the radical racists that are indoctrinating our kids with critical race theory, and then America will understand true freedom. But until the pastors and the activists of churches set that as the goal, that America will not be de-Christianized. But we will bring God back to the people and back to our institutions. Then we'll reverse this, and I'm convinced that, you know, that we will win in Washington State, even though it's a blue leading state. We will win in Washington State. We're not that far behind, but we have to go back and bring Jesus' message to the masses.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Coach Kennedy. You know, I was in the legislature when that whole thing happened and went down, and it was very, very clear that no person shall be molested in their person or property on account of their mode of worship, okay? And it's, it says there should be perfect toleration of religious sentiment. These are from Article 26, the Washington State Constitution. I argued it then, and it seemed to miss a lot of our more liberal friends. And now before the Supreme Court, it looks like the Supreme Court justices are saying, yeah, he knelt down at the 50-yard line. He can do that. And it looks like they're going to actually uphold prayer at a public school gathering for the first time in a generation. This is an incredible story, and it's just one man with courage doing one thing with his mouth can literally change the course of America.
Yes, and Coach Kennedy, you know, literally went through hell. Fired, denigrated, multiple losses in the court, but he stuck to his principles, to his faith. And now Supreme Court will overturn that, and that'll be the start of the quote-unquote counter-reformation to this pagans who've taken over our entire schools, who've been literally ignored, like you articulated, the words of our own state constitution, the words of our own federal U.S. Constitution's First Amendment. And that's what happened when you get the wrong people, immoral people as judges and as school board leaders and superintendents. They just twist the words to mean whatever they want. And, of course, our country has a proud history of respecting people's religion, of bringing in the Word of God into government for the first 160 years of our nation's history. And it was only recently that, like, these corrupt judges who literally decided to, not just like today, the ignoring biology, ignore the written words of what our Constitution say. So we need to go back and commit to electing judges who actually read the words of the Constitution and promote God in our government and in our public square. Because that's how our nation was founded. You know that, Matt.
Yeah, and I love this because FPIW has been a leader on actually talking about which judges reflect Christian values, because a lot, I can't tell you how many elections I've had people, I don't know who to vote for judge, I don't know anything about these judges, can you help me? And FPIW actually has voter guides that can help people with this.
Yes, we'll be coming out with voter guides on all our statewide races, on the judges, on, of course, all the elected officials. FPIW Action will have a scorecard, so we'll be holding them accountable to their bad votes in Olympia. As you know, that is a tremendous tool to inform the public and actually to hold the elected officials accountable.
Yeah.
And as you know, some will change when you put that spotlight, that visibility onto their voting records. They'll start doing the right thing more often, and they'll get the courage to stand up against the radicals on the other side. As you know, courage is lacking in Olympia and with a number of folks, and we're here to help provide that courage and backbone.
We are, and I want to talk about something, too, that's kind of been an undercurrent out there. You and I ran into this, where there's kind of been this Protestant-Catholic animosity when, on these issues of family, these issues of morality, we all agree, and life and everything else. How do we break through some of that stuff? Because, you know, it gets kind of annoying when we've got such a bigger issue that we need to be fighting right now, and we have these people that are just, and I'm going to use the word hell-bent on really destroying the state of Washington. We need to come together right now. It's not the time for infighting.
You're absolutely right. I'm happy to say, you know, as you know, we're part of a 40-state network of family policy councils, you know, representing Christians in the public square. And there's been this coming together between faithful Christians, Protestants and Catholics, mostly faithful evangelicals and faithful Catholics. And we've been uniting. We realize we've been a house divided. Now, there's still a number of heretics and those folks who have rejected the gospel, the teachings of Jesus Christ in both the Catholic world and in the evangelical world. But now the faithful are starting to unite. I think we've lost a lot of the mainstream Protestant world, you know, the evangelical Lutherans, the Episcopal Church, and a few others, they've gone completely woke. But I still think there are divisions in the evangelical world and the Catholic world that can be healed and repaired. And I see it coming together and uniting on the basic truth that we do have to spread Jesus' teachings out loud to people. So I'm seeing that happening, but again, of course, we still have weak leaders in both churches. We still have folks who don't quite have the courage or are still afraid of what to do, or still stuck in the mindset of we just have to be a nice person, and that's all we have to be. We don't have to confront anybody. But I think more prophets are rising up and are uniting and realize that we really have a fight on our hands, especially involving our children, that transcends, you know, difference of minor theology, but we come together on life and family and marriage and religious freedom, true freedom based on biblical, the Bible and scripture and Jesus' own words. So I see that coming together, but still the biggest thing that I see lacking is that kind of courage. You know, we have to move back from this old viewpoint of separation of church and state, and
yeah,
pastors should be sound. And we have to be nice people. I mean, for goodness sakes, I have a painting of Jesus overturning the tables, of using the whips to get out the false prophets in the temple. We have to be a little bit harsh to folks who are actually spreading, you know, these savage wolves, these Pharisees that have been corrupting the church. We have to start with our own redemption, purify our own churches and our own temples. And if we do that and we turn to prayer, I think God will bless us and bless our movement. But we have to be humble. We have to be looking towards Scripture for the answers. We have to be prayerful. And we have to try to focus on the real issues of life and marriage and freedom. So if we do that, you know, we will regain America and regain Washington State.
I completely agree. Mark Malosha, thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Before we go, if you could tell listeners where they can go to join up and sign up for the newsletter, and also how they can find out more information about FPIW.
Yeah, go to fpiw.org, sign up to our blogs and news alerts, and you'll start seeing opportunities to serve, to be involved, and it's a way to get motivated and join together with fellow Christians in the public square to save souls and bring people back to Christ.
Amen. Mark Melosha, head of FPIW, thank you so much for everything you're doing. Keep up the fight in Olympia.
God bless you, Matt, and your ministry.
God bless you, too. Mark Melosha, Family Policy Institute of Washington, FPIW. And we'll post up the link here momentarily on the Facebook page underneath the live link. And if you didn't know, we're actually doing this live streaming as well. So you can watch us live. You can listen to us. If you don't want to see Travis or me, it's okay. I do want to say this as we end the show. Morality is the foundation of a civilization. And I've heard this out there. People will say there is no absolute truth. And you just look at them and you say, are you absolutely sure about that? And, you know, you kind of get into a kind of a fun debate about it. But the fact of the matter is that all legislation is morality. I've heard people say you can't legislate morality. That's absolutely that is a fallacy. All legislation is morality. It reflects a worldview. The question is, what worldview? Is it the worldview of the secularists? Is it the worldview of the Satanists? Is it the worldview of Christians? What is the worldview it reflects? And most people know in their consciences what is right and what is wrong. We need to be unashamed in reflecting the moral values that made America great. The founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, the supposed deist, that's not true, but Thomas Jefferson, who believed God interfered in the affairs of men, thus making him not a deist, who actually attended church services at the Capitol, that Thomas Jefferson said in the Declaration of Independence very clearly that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. Now, that last part, property and ability to defend the same, property was in one of the original drafts of the Declaration of Independence, and the ability to defend the same actually was in the original Boston manuscript that he used as a template for the Declaration of Independence. The point here is this. Thomas Jefferson understood that everything we were doing was based upon a Judeo-Christian worldview. Because he said also in the Declaration of Independence, the law of nature and nature's God, those were two legal terms of art that had been just 7 years previously defined by Sir William Blackstone in his commentaries on the laws of England. And in those commentaries, he said, the law of nature is God's truth, his will written into creation. That's why the sciences used to be the discovery of truth. That's why you had political science, the discovery of truth in politics, the discovery of truth in biology and in physics and all of these other areas. It was the discovery of what God had already written into creation as truth. And then you had the law of nature and the law of nature's God. The law of nature's God was Holy Scripture, revealed to us through Scripture, his truths. Thomas Jefferson was saying our entire country was based on that as a foundation, and we must return to it. If you haven't put up the Ten Commandments in your home or in your workplace or maybe in your school, and hopefully it's a private school or a homeschool co-op, put up the Ten Commandments so your kids can see it regularly. Matt, if I put it up in my workplace, it could be offensive. Well, what's really interesting about that is the United States Supreme Court has mentions of the Ten Commandments all over the place. So take a stand, and we need to put these values out visibly that we believe in for our posterity. This is Matt Shea. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you. May he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.